Ahava blessings. Welcome to this episode of Embodying the Shekhinah. This podcast is here to support us, to awaken, to inspire us, to embody, integrate, remember our soul essence. I am your host. My name is Aria. I am an ordained Magdalene priestess, Reiki master, energy and sound alchemist. And in this episode, we are going to talk about the energies of this new lunar cycle that we are entering into on the 26th, early morning, 27th of May. And the lunar cycle is the lunar cycle of Gemini, Sivan. And this new moon is happening on May 26, 2025, 8:02 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11:02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on May 27th, 2025, at 5:02 Central European Time. This is a beautiful, beautiful energy of this moon. Gemini is the twins. Gemini is the lovers in the tarot. Gemini represents, in Kabbalistic astrology, in the teachings and the wisdom traditions of Mary Magdalene and Yeshua and the Christ Magdala lineage, this lunar cycle represents and brings forth the energies of the alchemical marriage, divine union, sacred union between polarities. This is the transcendence of duality, which is what these mystical teachings are all about. It's about ascension through transcendence, through the merging of all aspects that we hold in duality, coming back into union. This moon is happening at 6 degrees of Gemini, and six is the number that is associated with the heart chakra, the Hathor chakra, which is the high heart chakra, unconditional love, cosmic beauty and harmony. It is the number that is associated with Mother Mary, with the sun, with the Sephirot, that is the heart chakra, the Tiferet, and Archangel Raphael, which is the Archangel of healing. Archangel Raphael heals not only the physical body, but the spiritual body and the mental etheric body. So it's all about healing. This number is connected to the arc line that connects us with our destiny and our mission. It is the hand of God, the hand of Shekhinah. It is about spiritual practice, and it is about awakening our power and ability to heal. And healing is just another word for waking, for freeing ourselves of the veils of illusion, for clearing and liberating ourselves of distortion, for coming back into union and alignment with truth, with source, with divine love, with the divine, with our soul. We see all of these energies permeating this moon, this lunar cycle of union, of harmony, of healing. And what's interesting is there are several aspects to this moon that make the energies incredibly profound and deep and transformational. So we have the sun and moon in a conjunction, which is what happens when there is a new moon. So we are beginning a new lunar cycle. So this is a point of initiation. It is a point of new beginning. It is a point to set intentions. It is basically the dark phase of the moon. So it is when the unseen is being seeded in order for it to be revealed with the full moon. But this moon is conjunct with the sun, but it's also in conjunction with Mercury in Gemini, and Mercury is in 2 degrees of Gemini. So we have the conjunction of the outer self, represented by the sun, with the inner self, our intuition, the inner world, the masculine, the feminine, in conjunction at the new moon. But we're also bringing into the mix, because when there is a conjunction, there is a merging of energies, there is a unification of energies. We're also bringing in the energy of intellect, of communication, of travel, of wisdom, discernment, of communication with the divine, because Mercury is the messenger for the divine, for the gods. And it just keeps getting better. we have the conjunction between Mercury and Uranus. Uranus is the great awakener. It is the disruptor, the one that shakes things up that are not working so that things can come back into a higher evolution and aspect of themselves. Uranus is an innovator. Uranus is the planet that really allows our awakening, our Kundalini energy, our sexual creative energy to awaken and to be channeled, ideally, into the light. So we have this conjunction between Mercury, Uranus, which will bring in, well, energy can go two ways. Energy, when channeled improperly, can create chaos, dissolution, destruction, all kinds of just not good energy. If we are not ready, if we are holding on to distorted and out-of-date patterns and programs, and we refuse to open our vessel to clear the space, then there will be chaos. This is why when we undergo a spiritual practice, without the consciousness that we have to clear certain patterns and behaviors and ways of thinking and being and doing, we have to liberate them and let go of them. If you hold on to them amidst the process of a spiritual practice and you stubbornly hold on to them, you will only create more chaos in your life because you're not creating the space and you're not clearing the vessel of the gunk in order for you to actually receive all of the benefits of what you are calling in. If there is no space, if there is no room, then you can't fully receive because the heart chakra is about receiving. So we are, in essence, when we consciously choose to go into these cycles with full awareness that there will be things that have to be cleared and let go of the illusion that things have to remain the same and that everything has to be easy breezy and unicorns and rainbows and light and love, and there never is any chaos and there never is any anger. No, we have to go into these cycles fully prepared that if the divine, if the energies of cosmic union and the divine are basically pushing us in a direction to clear and liberate certain patterns, if we are being triggered and things are being shown to us, it's not to reinforce those beliefs. It's showing us what is triggering us, what is angering us, what is making us feel off, so that we can go within and create that inner union, that merging of those aspects. We can bring in more light through the clearing and the liberation and the healing of those parts of ourselves that are in separation. Because we all hold on to things way past their expiration date. And working with these cycles shows us that no, it is okay to let go. It is safe to let go. It is safe to allow ourselves the space to explore a new way of being, a new way of doing, despite what society says, what our upbringing says, what our educational system and religious dogmas say. Those are all distortions and lies that have been perpetuated and fed to us to keep us small, to keep us contained, to keep us controlled and easily manipulated so that our infinite potential can continue to remain dormant, asleep. So we can just walk around like robots, mindlessly following the herd, as opposed to questioning and utilizing our discernment and clearing away the veils we all hold, because we all hold lenses through which we view the world. We all hold them. We all hold patterns and programs that have to do with our karma, with our lineage, with our societal cultural programming, with our all of it. We all hold these patterns. Not one of us is exempt or better than another. And if you think you are, you're in for a rude awakening. Sorry to tell you that, but it is what it is. And this is what this energy of this Gemini new moon, it is bringing in new ways of thinking, of being, of doing, of creating a new foundation, because not only is Mercury in conjunction with Uranus, which is bringing in new insight, new ways of thinking, new ways of doing, innovation, intuition, awakening on a deep, profound level of the gunk in the brain, those programs and patterns that need to be, they need to go bye-bye. And of course, we have the conjunction with the sun and the moon, but all of these planets are in a trine with Pluto. Pluto is the planet of death, rebirth, resurrection, the planet of the underworld, but it's not the underworld as in like in Western Judeo-Christian, it's like hell, purgatory. No, it's not that. It is the darkness of creation, basically the cosmic womb, the place where all life is seated and from which all life emerges and returns. That is that underworld that I'm talking about. It is that the depths of the cosmos, the womb of the Divine Mother, where we can rebirth ourselves into this cosmic union as full embodiments of the divine that we are, as fully embodying our soul, our absolute essence, our truth. This moon, so Gemini, was created by Zayin. Gemini is ruled by Mercury, which was created by the Aramaic Hebrew creation frequency, Resh. Resh is about discernment. It is about wisdom. It is about cultivating the clarity of mind to be able to align with the light. Because so many of us, we get sucked into an ideological perspective, a point of thinking, a way of being, and we think that's right, and we don't even think to question what is going on behind, what are the strings that are being pulled, how am I being manipulated, how am I being controlled by falling in line with this narrative. We don't think, we just were like, okay, well, everyone's doing this, so I'm gonna do that too. We don't actually feel whether it is in alignment with our soul, whether it is actually truth. Because truth, let's talk about truth. Truth in Aramaic is emet. Truth has nothing to do with your feelings. Truth has nothing to do with what society says is truth or what the doctors say is truth. Yes, I said it. Because most of medical science is bought and paid for by pharmaceutical companies and by other interests that are not interested in your health and well-being and your longevity. They're not. Go do your own research. Truth is not something that can be bent to the will of an interest, of money, of whatever. Truth is just truth. And it's not something that your ego is going to like. It's just not. Because the moment we are in the ego and we are looking for proof that our way of viewing the world is correct, in air quotes, that our way of living and being and doing is the best way to be, that's the moment that we know we're not in alignment. Because we're not. Because it's all about your ego. It is all about proving that you are right and somebody else is wrong. Because the moment one person is right, the other person automatically is wrong. That is not truth. Speaking your truth without actually thinking of whether your words are kind or loving or helpful or actually creating union, that is not truth. If you're just speaking your truth to have trauma diarrhea, that's not truth. You're basically just trying to make other people take on your shit. And that's not what we are here to do. We are not here to vomit all over someone and call that, oh, I'm just speaking my truth, so that they can take on your nonsense. Because that's what we do. When we don't consciously have a conversation about our feelings and we just vomit over someone, that is not healing, because that other person did not consciously make a decision to engage in that discussion of the traumas or whatever is the discussion about. That person didn't consciously make the decision to go into this dance with you. If that person did, then it's no longer you vomiting all over someone. It's an exchange. It's, we're going to talk about this, we're going to discuss this, and we're going to support one another through this process. Then it's a co-creation. Then it's actually serving a higher purpose. Then it's more in alignment with truth and with showing both of you, aligning both of you into a higher octave of your embodiment of your soul. But it has to be a conscious decision. It can't just be one party, just out it comes, and no care, no concern, no thought for how it is being presented or received. That's not truth. Truth that creates more distortion, more disunity, more disharmony, more dis-ease. Truth that only serves the purpose of soothing one person's ego is not truth. Truth is something that we all strive to constantly align and realign to, because we get glimpses of it. We feel energetically, we feel the alignment and the pull towards it. And it's not always manifest in the physical world how we think it should be. So the purification, the preparing of the vessel, which is your body, all of that, the liberating of the mental clutter, the emotional scars and wounds, all of this is important, because we cannot birth and sustain a new frequency if we're holding on to old junk. If we're holding on to outdated patterns, like let's just say your computer, because we're in this conjunction with Uranus and Mercury and technology, just makes sense. So we're going to go with this analogy. Let's say your computer. Your computer is however old it is, doesn't really matter. But it's operating on an old, outdated system, okay? The operating system, you've been needing to replace it for years. You've been, you know, every once in a while you get the little thing just keep spinning and spinning and spinning, but you're ignoring it because you don't want to deal with updating the hard drive. You don't want to deal with updating the operating system. So you're trying to put in a new program for, let's say, music or for video editing, whatever it is. But you realize that your hard drive doesn't have the memory, doesn't have the RAM to hold the new program. At this point, your machine's gonna crash because you didn't take the time to defragment the hard drive, to clear out what doesn't need to be there. You didn't take the time to update the operating system so that the operating system could hold the new program. So basically, if you refuse and continue to not do that, you're basically gonna just keep hitting your head against the wall and basically getting mad at the computer because it's not doing what you want it to do. It's not editing your videos. It's not giving you the quality of the sound on whatever you're trying to record. It's not giving you what you need because you have not taken the time to update the hard drive. So if you can't update the hard drive, then you cannot receive the benefits of the new program that you've been trying to install. And this new program, in terms of your own life, can be abundance, it can be love, it can be manifesting whatever, like, it doesn't really matter. It can be self-love. If you have not dealt with, you know, how your parents were absent and never gave you a sense of security or safety, or how you felt you always had to prove yourself to them, then that ability to self-love is always going to be elusive. We are being asked with this moon to go deeper, go into the depths of what is it that you truly desire that makes your soul sing and makes you feel in union with the divine. What is that? And how can we bring that in? How can we cultivate more of that? What needs to be removed, cleared, liberated, healed? Pick your adjective. In order for you to make the space for the beauty, the harmony, the love, the abundance, the health that you want to bring in. That is what we need to be doing. We need to be really aware of how we are channeling and employing our sexual creative energy. Are we allowing it to rule us, to control us? Are we giving it away? Are we giving our energy away to things outside of us so that other things can control and manipulate us? Continue perpetuating the cycle of enslavement and the cycle of pain and loss? Or are we allowing ourselves to be liberated? Because with energy, with this star map that we're working with for this cycle, we can spiral downwards. Well, with any star map, we can spiral downwards into the depths rather than upwards. And we can spiral into the mundane, into the muggle, into the soul that is in separation and enslavement and is in duality. Or we can spiral upwards into the soul that is in oneness, in union with the divine, with source, with God, Goddess, Allah, consciousness. The soul, the self that is transcending duality, that is unifying all aspects, all polarities. We can do that. We can spiral upwards, and that's what we are here to do. That is the ascension process, that spiral upwards that is liberating all programs that no longer serve us, all distortion, all illusion, all of the veils that keep us thinking that we are small, that keep us giving away our power, our creative energy. All of that we can liberate by spiraling in with these energies into union. And this came up while I was meditating and preparing for this. The saying, be in the world, not of the world. And so the quote, as I read the translation from Aramaic, it says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. And then later it says, keep them from evil, sanctify them through the truth, for thy word is truth. Mystical aspects, the original teachings, and because they really give us a clearer picture of what it was that Yeshua and Mary Magdalene and the Christ Magdala school, what they were teaching us was necessary for ascension. They gave us the blueprint for how to do this. So basically it's the word came down. The word is the teachings of the divine. The word is the knowing that everything is vibration, frequency. everything is sound. Creation is the word. That knowing that we are beyond the physical world. The soul is beyond the physical world. This is what it means, they're not of the world. Because we can perceive a different perspective, a perspective that is not, it's not mundane. It's not just, I'm going to go through life being a robot and just doing what other people expect me to do. It is seeking the wisdom and the truth, the divine truth, that we are all one with the divine. We are all aspects of this divine essence presence, and we can activate that within us, and we activate it through practice, through spiritual practice. We liberate the shells, the klipot, the empty parts of ourselves. We fill with light. This is what we do when we pray, when we do a movement meditation, when we engage in a sound activation. We sanctify our lives. We allow ourselves to liberate what keeps us enslaved. We allow ourselves to liberate those chains, to remove them, and fill ourselves with light. Those chains are those outdated beliefs, the programs from society, from our parents, from our lineage, from our culture, those programs that keep us small, that keep us contained, that keep us doing the same things and thinking we cannot evolve out of it, that fear that is also programmed into us, the fear that we cannot be different, because if we are different, we are somehow betraying our family, our culture, our society, our friends group. And we all know people that judge us or have judged us because we do things differently. We've all felt that pain. And still, we do it anyway because we know that we must be in alignment with our soul. We must continue to develop and nourish this union with the divine, which is what this month is about. And this month we receive the wisdom. This is the month that the Hebrews receive the Torah. Torah means wisdom. It's the waters. Beyond the religious into the mystical, because this is what the Chokhmah traditions are. They are the traditions that are the hidden, unseen, the wisdom traditions, what is behind what has been written and distorted and mistranslated. Going back to the original intent and words and teachings, this is the month where we can purify our vessel to receive the light, to receive the wisdom, to embody the wisdom. Embodied wisdom, embodied spirituality is not in what you say. It is in your vibration. It is in your frequency. It is in what you do day in and day out. It is in your commitment to do your practices, even if you're tired, or to be kind, to speak words that are uplifting and inspirational, and that are in alignment with light and love and purity. That purity of intention, that is what brings us the blessings of the divine. That is what brings us the blessings of sustenance. Because I didn't get into Zayin. So Zayin is associated with Saturn, which technically, you know, a lot of Western astrologers, they don't like Saturn, because Saturn is the taskmaster. It's Father Time. It is, and I've even seen some distortions that say that it's a planet of destruction or whatever. I don't know. Anywho, I don't pay attention to that because all that does, I will say this, I don't pay attention to those beliefs in the nouveau spiritual, whatever, new age world, because all it does is create another layer of distortion and disunity and separation. All it does is keep us in duality. Okay? So Saturn is actually a great benefactor. Saturn is a planet of abundance because Saturn keeps us on task. And by on task, I mean in alignment with your soul. Because this is what happens during a Saturn return. During a Saturn return in your late 20s, early 30s, depending on when it comes back into the same place it was when you were born, and also in your late 50s and 60s, and this is also actually late 50s and I think 60. So that's also why a lot of people have a midlife crisis around that time, because they were living, whether you're in your late 20s or late 50s, you were living a life that you were told you needed to live. You're basically doing things out of habit and out of rote and not listening to your soul. Not listening to the little nuggets of inspiration, ignoring them. And the more we ignore it, the more that it's going to snowball and kick us in the bum. And that's what Saturn does if you're not on your mission. And Saturn will do that. I know, because it did it to me. So work with Saturn. Saturn is an energy that wants you to prosper. Saturn is an energy that wants you to be in alignment with your soul, with your destiny, with your mission. And that can change over time. So it's not a fatalistic mission. It's, are you revealing your truth? Are you revealing the light of the divine that you are through your words, through your actions, through your being, through your presence, in whatever you do? Doesn't matter what you're doing, but are you revealing and sharing that light? Are you embodying and purifying and continuing to bring down that light? That is the mission, to share that light and to light the way for others. So Saturn is associated with Zayin, which created Gemini. And Zayin means crown, to be crowned through our devotion, but also means sword, to basically remove the veils and the distortions and all of those layers that aren't necessary. But also it means sustenance. When we actively choose to align with these energies and actively choose to work with the frequencies of the Resh, the Zayin, of Gemini, to bring duality into unity, to unify and create that alchemical marriage between all parts of you, to strive for divine union with the divine, that is when we are crowned, when we are blessed with sustenance, where we are blessed with abundance, given what we need and what we create is filled with light and sustainable. And the effort that it takes for us to continue to nourish something isn't as much. Like, it doesn't take that much out of us. Perhaps it even enhances us and gives us more energy. And this is the beauty of this lunar cycle. We really have that opportunity to go deeper and bring even more of ourselves into union, bring even more of ourselves into harmony, and to create and birth the cosmic harmony of light through our vessels, through our actions, through our words. It's a powerful lunar cycle, and you will be feeling it. And allow, like, if you feel chaos is coming up, allow the chaos to show you what needs to be shifted. Because if something is being triggered in your life, it's because it needs to change. Whether a conversation needs to be had, a really deep one-on-one conversation, a realignment has to be made, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you take the time to really allow yourself to receive the wisdom that is going to elevate you and expand you into that next level. This is what this inner union creates, because We must have the inner union before we can experience outer union with the divine or with the beloved, which is another subject. But it really is, it really, really is a beautiful time to create this union, to create this harmony, to create this beauty, to move from a heart-centered space, to see where, see the places we are being controlled, manipulated, subjugated, and how, and allow ourselves to utilize our creative energy to liberate ourselves and align ourselves with the light, with unconditional love, and take our power back from whatever it is that we've given it to. It doesn't matter what it is, and it's not taking it back from a place of anger or from a place of judgment, or you did this to me, or a place of shame. Oh, how could I have done that? How could I have been so stupid? No. It's just taking back our power from a place of love. We gave it away for whatever reason we gave it away. We needed to. That was part of our growth. We acknowledge that that was part of our growth and evolution. And now we're ready to take our power back. It doesn't have to be angry. It doesn't have to be guilty. It doesn't have to be shameful. It doesn't have to be any of that. Because all of that, those lower emotions, just keep us in separation. It doesn't have to be any of that. Just from a heart-centered space. And to close this episode, I just wanted you to take a deep breath with me. To take a deep breath into the belly, into the womb. And exhale. And on the next inhale, I want you to envision light, the light of the divine just pouring into you. And allow yourself to see what needs to be unified in your life. So take a deep inhale. And exhale. And you may not, this may take a few times to do, but just doing this practice of breathing deeply with the intention to align with the infinite light of creation, the divine, and to see what parts of us need to be brought back into wholeness, into union. And then go out there and do it. Okay? Because it's not just about, okay, I'm going to meditate. The information. No, then we have to actually do something with that information. Okay? We have to take action to bring those parts of ourselves back from exile, back into our hearts, and to love all of those parts of ourselves. I know that this episode was a few days late, and I just was not feeling the energy of the place I was at before, and I didn't feel comfortable just channeling and tuning into these energies, because I knew that what would come forth would be distorted. Because if your emotional world, if your external is chaotic and there's shit going on in the external because it's a party hotel where everyone is drinking and you're the only odd fish that is not partaking in any of it, you know very well that that can distort energy, and I didn't want any of that distortion coming in through this, through my work. So I waited until I was in a safe and beautiful space and did my practices and blessed it, and I felt good, and I felt centered and really okay, not influenced and strong in my own energy, so that I could really convey what the frequencies, what needed to be shared through this episode. So I do hope that you found benefit from this, that you received inspiration from this. And if you enjoy this, please like, share, subscribe. Make sure you give this a 5-star review, share it. Don't forget to tune into the sound activation. Sound activation you can do, I did release it on Friday, so you can do at any point in time during this lunar cycle. It can be part of it. And I will aim to share a video on my YouTube channel. So if you would like to follow me on YouTube. It's Audia Lara. It is linked below in the show notes. And you can also find me on Instagram at Embodying the Shahina and at Audia Lara. Enjoy this lunar cycle. Set your intentions and come into union. This is what we are called to do again and again. Cultivate wisdom, cultivate discernment. This is the month to receive and embody wisdom. So allow yourself to clear the space, whatever needs to be removed. Just allow it. Allow it to be let go. Allow it to be liberated. And drink plenty of water. Nourish your body. Pay attention to your dreams. Journal. Go out, hug a tree. Be in nature. Go spend time by the ocean if you can. That is really, really beautiful. And just receive the sunshine. Receive the dark of the moon. Really allow yourself. Allow your intuition to guide you, because right now, very, very powerful time for your intuition, for the inner wisdom that you know. Have a blessed, blessed new moon, and I will see you in the next episode. Don't forget to tune into the sound activation if you have not done so already. And have a blessed lunar cycle of Sivan. Ahava. Blessings.